In this episode of Kids Podcast, I am honored to share wisdom with you about leading kids in your church and in your home. Dealing with kids is hard work, and I'm praying that we add some tools to your tool belt today. So let's dive into today's topic. Here we are, another episode of Kids Podcast, part four of our series titled God is Greater. Yes, we're digging into this series. We're learning that God's attributes of greatness covers a span over a lifetime, over a history, or over his story. He's got greatness all over. And God is not less. God is not weak. God is not small. There is no one, no thing that is greater than he. God is greater. And specifically, God is greater than my emotions. And this does not exclude our little ones. They have emotions. They have big emotions. Mom and dad, you know this. Crying for no reason. Throwing that tantrum in the middle of Target. Rolling around on the floor. Those emotions are big. It might be a small thing to you and I that they didn't get that candy. But it's a big deal to them. Big enough that they're going to cause a scene in the grocery aisle. Uh-oh. And so, no matter how big that scene may be, no matter how big that emotion may come out, no matter what it is, God is greater. And I want to dig in today as we put a cap, an end cap on this particular series. We break it down into many parts. We focus on a batch of four because, hey, there's about 4 to 5 weeks in a month. And we can't cover all the attributes of God in 1 month because, hey, your kid's not going to remember. I barely remember. So we focus on one attribute. And so today we're talking about God's truth is greater than my lies. On week one, we learned that God's goodness is greater than my evil. Week two, God's holiness is greater than my sin. Week three, God's justice is greater than my greed. But today, this episode, right now, God's truth is greater than my lies. And we were helping the kids come to remember that no matter how great my problems seem, I know that God is greater. That when my problems seem great, I know that my God is greater. When my problems seem great, I know that my God is greater. And, man, truth and lies. I remember the first time Logan lied. I don't remember the first time Morgan lied. I remember the first time I lied. It was like he discovered this way to get out of something. We were playing like a Nerf in the house, right? And his lie, I wouldn't say it was an evil lie. It was more of a tactical lie, kind of like playing poker. He was bluffing me. I was like, whoa, where'd you learn that? And he was like, Dad, I'm going to go over to the left. I'm going to hide over there. And then when you come over there, I'm going to shoot you with my Nerf. And so I went over to the left. And you know where he was not? He was not in the left. I had no clue where this kid was. I was looking around, and he was, sure enough, he was on the right. And he shot me, just like he said, but just from a different angle. And it blew my mind that this kid had figured out how to bluff me. And he was like 7 or 8 at the time. It's like he creatively came up with a way to use non-facts to get away with something. So then it wasn't very much long after that where we caught him in a lie. Like, where did that come from kind of thing? I don't remember the details of that story, but I do remember like, whoa, this is serious. We need to talk about that. And we had to go through the conversation of like, hey, when you don't tell truth, that's called a lie. Lying is not acceptable. Lying is not a thing we do in our home. Lying is a sin. And, but once again, I don't want to teach my child not to lie because the act is wrong. I want to teach them the heart of what that thing does. If you just go through life teaching your kids to not do actions because you don't like the actions, well, one day when you're no longer a part of the equation, they're going to go back to doing those actions anyways. Or when they move out of the house and they have freedom, they're going to go back and do those actions anyways. Or when they decide to give up on you, they're going to go back to doing those actions anyways. Or when you're no longer in the picture because you passed away, moved away, or they moved away, you name it, they're just going to go back to doing what they want to do. But if you teach them to fill their hearts with the right things, if you put the right things in their heart, if you allow that heart to be full, well, what goes in eventually comes out. And so the principle was not to lie, but the principle was understanding goodness, truthfulness, God's attributes, God's character, what is honorable. And so I remember having that conversation with Logan, like, hey, that does not come from a good heart. Do we want a bad heart? And I pose questions like this a lot for my kids. So all four of these topics, today I'm kind of focusing more on the parenting part, where I don't expect you guys to do it my way, but I'm helping you think through, like, as a kids pastor, I've taken kids ministry applications into my parenting and I've become a better parent for it. And I recognize that we all have a million ideas from a million resources, from a million podcasts, from a million books on how to be parents. But I am certain that we all can agree that we don't want our kids to be good for the sake of being good. We want them to be good because they have a good heart. They're striving for goodness, that the end game is good. Are we following? That's what we want. End game. Not just today's results. So we dig in here a little more. We look at the story of Luke chapter 19, the story of Zacchaeus, and who is the wee little man. The wee little man. The story is pretty simple. Is that Jesus was coming through a town, and there was this guy by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a wee little man. He was a small, small guy. And he wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to get a glimpse. So he climbed this tree, specifically a sycamore tree. And it got him elevated high enough that he could see Jesus. And Jesus was like, oh, Zacchaeus, I see you. You come down. And we're going to go to your house today. And we're going to go eat. And so Zacchaeus climbs down. He and Jesus connect. They go eat. And people are like, whoa, that guy is a tax collector. Whoa, you're eating with a sinner. Whoa, we don't like him. He's no good, dirty, rotten, pig-stealing farmer. Or a liar. Now, let's pause. We have to do a little bit of context here because Zacchaeus, as the people called out, was a tax collector. Now, why does that detail matter? That matters because back then, tax collectors were different than how we do taxes today. Today, we got to pay taxes. We just pop it in the mail or give it to our wives or however she pays for it, and it's done, right? Back in the day, to pay your taxes, you went to the local tax collection home. You paid that guy. And that guy took your taxes and paid the government. What would happen is you didn't really know what your taxes were because you didn't get W-9s and 1099s and whatever I's. And he'd be like, oh, this guy owns $2. You own $3. And then he would give the two to Caesar or to the Romans or to whoever the tax government was, and he'd pocket the one. You'd be paying more. He'd be lying so that he could be paid more. So no one liked tax collectors because all of them did it. They were like scraping the cream from the top kind of thing. All dirty, rotten, pig-stealing, farming, tax-collecting liars. And this guy, he had a change of heart. Zacchaeus, he was tired of that life. Tired of being a liar. And he wanted to see this guy named Jesus. And so he climbed the tree. He raised his elevation. He got a glimpse. He saw Jesus. Jesus invited him into dinner. Which, by the way, was a big deal because a meal or the breaking of bread was a symbolism in the Bible of relationship building. Super valuable, super important. A whole nother sermon. So Jesus was eating a meal with the tax collecting sinner, who was a liar, to develop a relationship. And then we can go on to foresee that his life changed from that point forward, that he was no longer Zacchaeus the liar, but he was now Zacchaeus the truth teller. And it's such a good story, right? Now I remember a big lie in my lifetime. I was in the backyard and I had a slingshot. It was a nice slingshot, nice. It's the kind that, like, if you hit someone in the head with it, they'd probably be dead. It wasn't like a toy slingshot. It was nice. You could probably take it to the woods, find a small game, and pink it. You had dinner. That kind of slingshot. And so I had this idea that I'm going to be really cool. I'm going to go in the backyard in the woods. The woods was probably about 100 and 150 yards from my actual house. I'm just picking things off. Like, I want to hit that log over there. Poof. I'm going to hit that log over there. Poof. I'm going to hit that can over there. Poof. I'm going to hit that bird over there. Poof. Ooh, I wonder if I can clear the house. So I pulled back on that sling, aimed really high to the sky, and I was like, poof. And I let that rock or small marble or whatever it was take off. And I was like, yep, cleared it. Nailed it. Easy peasy. Went on to shoot some more things and got tired of doing that and started walking home. And as I was walking home to the front door, I could hear like this sound. Just it was like cracking ice. For those of you that don't know, I do ice fishing and sometimes you hear the ice crack. But this was a little bit different. It was just this long slow cracking, and I had no clue of, so I investigated. What was that sound? Well, you've guessed it. I had hit the window that I meant to clear right dab in the middle, and the entire it didn't bust a hole in it. It just hit it just right that it began to crack the entire frame, and it was splintering out like this giant spider web. And each spider web began to multiply, and it just the entire window was cracking. It didn't fall, it didn't like collapse, there wasn't a hole. It was just one giant thing. I was like, oh no, oh no, I know that was me. Oh no. And so what I did was I ran inside and I came up with this plan. I was talking to my mom. She was just having a conversation, and she's like, "Why aren't you out with your friends playing?" I was like, "Oh, they're playing with those mean boys over in the other road." Oh, I had this whole thing planned out. He's in the and I don't like playing with him. We almost got in a fight once. I don't want to play with him. She's like, "Oh, you should go out and play." I was like, "I'll tell you what. Let me go look and see if they're still playing." Because they were being mean. They were throwing rocks at me, and I was just like, "Let me go look." And so I walked over to the window to go look for my friends, quotation mark. And like, "Oh no, mom! Look, mom! What happened? What did those guys do?" Oh, it must. And I just really fabricated a whole story, right? This is the biggest, best lie I've ever had in my life. And my mom was like, "What the beep, beep, beep?" Because my real mom, she was not a believer in Jesus or in good words. And I was like, "I told you, those guys are mean. They're throwing rocks. They're probably that guy right there. They probably threw a rock at the house just trying to get me." And she fell for it. She's totally. You're talking like a week later. Mom was still believing that. She's still, to this day, she believes in that story. But you know who doesn't believe in that story? My dad. Nope. He came home from his work trip. I think it was like 3 or 4 days later. And he was like, "Oh, what happened?" And I told him the story. He was pretty cool about it. Like he let me get away with the lie. He let me tell it. The problem with my dad is he was a trained special force officer, and he knew body language, and he knew nonverbals, and he knew that I was lying. But he let me get away with it. He didn't say anything. He just kind of let me get away with it. And I think the reason he did that is because he didn't want to call me a liar, which there is a lesson to learn, because if my dad had called me a liar, it probably would have affected me differently than how the story actually played out. So we go on. We're talking like a week, 2 weeks later. I thought I'd gotten away with this. I didn't let it go. I don't remember what I did next, but I started to lie about something else. But my dad was wise this time, and he was around this time. So he arranged for it like you would see in any sitcom story where you would be caught in your own lie. And that's exactly what happened. I got caught in my own lie. So now I felt different. Like, oh, I just learned now that lying does not pay off. And it was in that catching of the lie, my dad pointed out, now tell me the truth about the window. And because now I was already like, oh, yeah. Yeah, that was me too, Dad. See what happened there? He could have called me a liar and I could have been like, and I could have double timed it or felt bad or whatever. But he set it up so that I revealed the truth and learned from the situation. You're following. And so that's my story about lying. Now, you got kids. Are they little liars? I'm so sorry if they are. I really want to pray for you and I want to encourage you. It's normal for your kid to lie. It's normal for your kid to be greedy. It's normal for your kid to sin. It's normal for your kid to experience this lifestyle of wrongdoing. But it's also normal to point them to Jesus. It's also normal to raise the elevation of the situation so that they can see Jesus and then want to have a meal with him, want to have a relationship with him. And that's the heart behind God is greater. So no matter what your child's going through, what they're lying about, being a parent is not about saying, do not be evil, do not sin, do not be greedy, do not lie. The heart of being a parent is pointing to Jesus and saying that he is good, he is holy, he is just, he is trustworthy. And I want to be like him. If you follow mommy and daddy, as I follow him, you too can be just like Jesus. And so that wraps it up for this series with your guys' take home. If you have questions, mom and dad, please feel free to hit me up at church or in the questions and comments or by email. That's Ron G, R-O-N-G, at CalvaryIrwin.com. And I am happy to minister, because hey, that's why I'm here. That's why I've been doing it for 13 years now, and I want to keep doing it. I want to provide you with the resources to be a successful mommy and daddy. Until next time, everybody say bye, Pastor Watt. Thank you for listening. Smash those like buttons, turn the bells blue, or whatever the kids are doing these days. At the end of the day, our goal is to raise little people to one day become big people. You can find older archived podcasts on our YouTube channel and support what we do at RonGaleMinistries.com. Enjoy!